Thank you, John. Good evening to all of you, and welcome to our devotional time here on the eve of our American holiday. In my lifetime, which has grown longer and longer, I have seen a time when patriotism and faith were almost conflated. One was thought to be equal to the other. And in all popular media and popular culture activities, that thought was sort of underscored in the culture early in my life. My observation is that I'm now living at a time where almost the opposite is the case, where patriotism is thought to be a contradiction of faith, and where there is enough focus in the popular culture and in many cases where personalities have a say in the popular culture, which rather than underscoring patriotism would undermine it in a way and suggest that it would be a contradiction of faith, especially the faith of Christ. Since we have been involved in our summer series in looking at the relevant current messages of the minor prophets, that is, how they might have something to say to us in our time, it seemed good to me to use our time tonight with Obadiah to make this particular application. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. I hope our devotional time will be in keeping with that. It is one of three minor prophets, which is actually an oracle against another nation, not to Judah or not to Israel. It's, in other words, an enemy of God's covenant people is the object of the message of this little book. It is one of six Old Testament books which has no specific explanation of the occasion of its writing, and it's one of seven of them which is not quoted or echoed anywhere in the New Testament, other than perhaps with the spirit of its message. Now, since Obadiah is talking to or about another nation, and since that nation is an enemy to the covenant people of God, it is not, his message is not strictly speaking parallel to how some enemy nation might think of our country. The true parallel would be how that enemy of God's covenant people, which in our day would be his kingdom in Christ, which would be his church in the world today. Even though that's the case, there still are principles that we think we'll find helpful in thinking of them for a few minutes. So tonight, let's think about the ways where our loyalty to the Lord might impact our loyalty to our national life, and where our faith and our patriotism might intersect, and how. Let's sing about it and pray over it for these few minutes while we're here tonight.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And He will lift you up. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this opportunity we have to gather together midweek. We thank you for this body of believers here. Father, in this chance we have to worship you. Father, to study from your word, to build each other up, to lift up prayers to you. And Father, we pray that all that we do here tonight would be done in spirit and in truth. Father, as we gather here tonight, particularly on this occasion, the day before our national holiday, July 4th, where we celebrate this country, Father, we are thankful for where we live, for this land that we call home. Father, we're thankful for the freedoms that we have here in this country. Father, for the principles upon which it was built. Father, we're thankful for our forebears, our grandfathers and our fathers who've come before us, our mothers and grandmothers who've come before us and have made this country what it is. Father, we're thankful for those who've sacrificed on behalf of this country to preserve it. And Father, as we remember our nation, in this land, and the freedoms that we enjoy here. Lord, we understand that with that freedom, we have the freedom to do both good and evil. And Father, we pray that as your kingdom, as this body of believers here and across our country, Father, that we would be the example for good. Father, that we would be the light in this land. And that we would continue to be an encouragement to those around us, our fellow countrymen and women, to do good and to use that freedom, Father, for good. We thank you, Father, and we pray that as a country, Father, perhaps we could get back to what is good, that this country could get back, Father, of course, we understand that not all of us here who live in this land are Christians. Not all of us here are in your kingdom. But Father, we pray that this would be a land where nevertheless your word and your will is revered. Father, again, we thank you so very much for the many blessings that you've provided to us. And we pray that you would continually, as always, be with our leaders. Father, that they would make decisions that are based in your will and that are good. Father, we pray that you would continue to guide us as a people. And as always, we pray that we would be the example that you would, that as your church, we would be the example that you would have us to be. And Father, we pray that every day in our lives that we live for Christ, Lord, that we live as an example of his sacrifice. And Father, that we are always ready and willing to preach him crucified, and to show his love in this country and the world. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.
In Obadiah's day, he had a message for the Edomites. The Edomites were related to Israel as distant cousins, we would say, but they had been a hindrance to God's promises to his people and to the fulfillment of those promises. At every opportunity they had, they'd been a hindrance to these things. Edom lay south of the Dead Sea and just east of the Dead Sea. Its main mountain range was Mount Seir, by which it was sometimes known or called. And its main cities were Selah, Bozra, and Teman. The main thing about Obadiah's message to Edom is that the things that their citizens had done to injure the cause of God's people were brought about by a particular kind of pride. In Obadiah verse 3, notice that it says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your holy and your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" There's a geographic part of this story which makes that message stand out in vivid detail. The capital city of the Edomites was Selah. It's now known as the city of Petra, or by that name. And it was perched high on a plateau above a sheer rock cliff, a really high steep one, which could only be approached by one narrow gorge, and it was therefore virtually impregnable. And in that situation, the Edomites thought that their strongholds were invincible and that they'd be utterly protected from any kind of danger, such as what might happen to Jerusalem or to Judah. And that kind of pride is at the root of what happens here. It causes the Edomites to say in their hearts, "No one can bring us down to the ground." And you think about the kind of pride we're talking about here, or that God is talking about here. It's not the situation where they just say, we're proud to be from Edom. We're proud because no one can do anything to bring us down. We're proud because there is no enemy, natural or supernatural, who could ever hold us accountable or could ever hold us to justice. In our own time, we should be aware that there is an appropriate kind of gladness or gratitude which recognizes our having been recipient of many blessings and privileges which cost other people something at a different time, and which are granted under the permissive grace of God Himself. The kind of pride, however, which would say we can do whatever we want, it's none of anybody else's business, there's no consequences, either spiritual or natural, to which we are obligated, we're better than anyone else, anywhere else, that kind of pride was destructive then, and it would be now. God says here, "Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down." I might just observe for our benefit now that it's a mistake to picture this situation and to think that it's talking about somebody else. For example, in our pride as a current generation of people, we could look back at what someone else did in another time, in another situation, and decry all of that and think that anything that came subsequent to that is therefore some form of evil itself. That would be chronological snobbery, in which we think that we're better because we are more recent or newer. We forget to compare things with what the alternatives were at the time, and even now, with what the alternatives might be. Think of God's, your pride, the pride of your heart has deceived you, and I'm going to bring you down from there. These next three songs, I'd like to ask you to actually look at them in your book in order to get the overall message in your mind. And we're going to sing different verses here to try to impress ourselves with the point being made. If the pride of our hearts were to deceive us, and if God would speak to us to bring us down, it might be something like number 802 in our book. 802.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sitting with the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. While God is marching on.
What I'm getting at, and what I think Obadiah gets at to the people of his day, is the idea that a moment of security and prosperity does not guarantee that it stays that way, and evil done or wrong done in the past does not mean that that evil will continue. For example, if you think about the words that we have just sung, do we dwell on wrongs or evils done in the past, or do we dwell on what was done to overcome those things? That's a choice that we make in our thinking. We want to be realistic about all, but to think about this. Now, that brings us to the second verse in Obadiah that I'd like for us to consider for a moment in this line of thought. Edom's pride caused him to do a great many things that were injurious to other people, sometimes people who were suffering, and particularly the people of the covenant people of God. And after the prophet has enumerated the wrongs done of their standing aloof and of joining in to the injury done to God's people, he finally says in verse 15, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head." The positive form of that statement, "as you have done, it will be done to you," the positive form of that would be what we know as the golden rule. One use of freedom would be to do things to spread kindness and justice and so forth in the world. It's unfortunate if we don't know history well enough to know the times when God has used the sacrifices that Patrick mentioned in the prayer to hold injustice accountable in various situations. We shouldn't be blind to that part of history. On the other hand, if the golden rule has a positive side, it also has the other reality, and no one can cause the law of God to be inapplicable to himself or herself because he doesn't believe it or practice it. What I mean is, if I don't choose to live by the golden rule, that does not free me from the negative impact of the golden rule. That's what this passage is saying here. The appropriate use of blessing and of freedom and of opportunity would be to do good and to spread mercy and to work justice. And where that would be done, there would be blessing. The inappropriate use of that, however, would be to do evil and to think that we've gotten away, or that the worker of it has gotten away with it. So the message of Obadiah, as you have done, it shall be done to you, sounds a sobering note. Think about that as we sing verse 1, 2, and 3 of another familiar song, number 801. In our book.
So beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crowned thy good with brotherhood, from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success, nobleness, and every gain divine.
The thinking of God's people is not that the country in which we live has no flaw. It is instead that God be sought in His power and wisdom to mend the flaws. God's people don't think that our success is all that matters. We do pray that God crown the success of our country where it exists with nobleness, which that song says. I'm trying to encourage us in view of Obadiah's message partly, but otherwise too, to think about the words that we're saying in these songs, and to to ask ourselves to raise that above kind of the arguments that go on around us. The first problem is pride. The next reality is the application of a golden rule, either in a plus or a negative way. And then the third and final note in this little book, and I debated over whether to leave the first part of this verse off and decided not to. Verse 21, he finally says to the Edomites, saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Mount Zion is where Jerusalem was, and Mount Esau is where Selah was, where the capital of Edom was. Saviors. We ought to remember that that word means originally deliverers, almost like judges would have been in the time of the judges. I read from one of the commentaries that what happened as we grew nearer to New Testament days, in the 2nd century B.C., Judas Maccabeus, who was a Jewish leader of the time, a Jewish hero of the time, killed about 20,000 of the Edomians, who the Edomites were known as at the time. And then later, a man named John Hyrcanus, who died in 104 B.C., forced the Edomites to be circumcised and to nominally accept Judaism. I do not claim that those two heroes are the saviors necessarily that's here, but I would point out that God raised up people from the one place and he used them to bring judgment on the other place. And this eventually gets fulfilled with the idea of the kingdom being the Lord's. It comes to pass when people who have prayed for the kingdom to come and for God's will to be done got to hear the gospel preached and got to hear it said that people who were forgiven of their trespasses, delivered from their sins, were transferred from the domain of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now they faced persecution and problems, but ultimately the cry of the last book of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that people who have been bought with His blood are a kingdom which will never be destroyed. That makes us think about our country in a particular way. Humility and gratitude and kindness all are a part of being subject to the rule of God and His kingdom, and they give us a particular outlook on the privileges that we have in our earthly country. We're going to sing verses of three songs now that I've chosen for us, the first being the last verse of number 803. And I'd like to ask, if you can and you don't mind, to be standing for this song and then the two immediately to follow, and then we're going to have prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Okay.
By show of hands, how many people grew up in a time where we sing these songs on a daily basis? I miss those times.
Our Father's God, to the author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
Where livest thou in malice and in strife, where darkness veils and mars the righteous life. Choose now to make a living sacrifice. 'Tis better thus, for we belong to Christ. Where livest thou? There is a place to stay. 'Tis in the Christ, a true and living way. Within his kingdom labor while you may. Hear what he says in loyal trust, obey. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let heaven ring. God reigns, let earth be glad.
Shall we pray? Our God and our Father in heaven, how holy is your name, and how wonderful all your works. Heavenly Father, you have so richly blessed us in this country. We ask that you continue these blessings. We ask that you be also with our leaders and help them to continually look to you, look at your words for their guidance. Especially want to thank you for the guarding that you do for us. Pray also for those that go out and defend our country. Keep them strong and help them when they are in harm's way. Help us to focus our wants to be within your will. Help us as a nation to keep our pride trained on you and to keep our hearts trained upon doing the good things for all those that we see. And Heavenly Father, keep our eyes always seeking Jesus' return, and help us to do that with pure hearts. We also ask that you be with us daily to continue to cleanse us, to help us to be your people, and to watch over us as we continue through our lives. Heavenly Father, also be with this congregation. Help us to grow stronger each day. Help us to be good lights within this part of the world. Be with our leaders, our elders, our deacons, and those that work in this congregation. Also be with our ministers and those that teach the classes. Heavenly Father, we also ask that you please forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.